Welcome to More Like Radio's Game of Thrones, Wieners and Such podcast. We are live today. Today is June 6th. You can listen to us live on morelikeradio.com/live. That's our main chat room. Or right now, we're also live on Facebook. You could also be listening on Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, Google, everywhere. You could just search for More Like Radio and check it out. So we weren't here last week because it was a Memorial Day weekend.
Holiday.
So we're going to be doing two episodes today, two episode recaps. We're going to do episode 6, Blood of My Blood, and episode 7,
The Broken Man.
The Broken Man. So it's going to be, we're kind of trying to get through them as fast as we can, but still not miss anything. Joined today by Marie Lopez.
A Girl Has No Name.
Mitch Heil.
Hello.
And Lord John of Sanzari.
Good day.
So, let's go back. Let's go back. Everyone, get back into your. Let's warg into episode 6 since it's a 2 weeks away.
Warg.
We start with Blood of My Blood. It starts right where the episode 5 left off, which was Hodor holding the door, and Hodor
so
dying. And Bran basically being drugged through the snow while having all these visions. Now, some people online froze like the visions because they were like quick flashes.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of them.
Yeah, there was a lot of them, and one of them that I remember while you look for the other ones off the top of my head was her seeing the Mad King. Him seeing, excuse me, the Mad King, and saying, you know, burn them all.
Hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of viewing of the was a dragon's breath.
Yes,
that green fire stuff, and how the Mad King was like stockpiling the shit out of it, and basically, you know, just ready to kill everyone.
Right,
which is why Jaime killed him.
And the theory is that Daenerys is going to be the next the Mad Queen. Now, I don't know about this. Apparently, it's already happened in the book. Am I right by saying that? I don't know. I don't read the book.
I don't know. I don't read, period.
Yeah, that's a good
reading is for gays.
Good call. we have the Mad King. He's on the throne. He's screaming, burn them all.
Burn them!
Now, in the vision, at least the little part we see, it's a little different than when Jaime said, you know, when he said that, you know, he had to stab him in the back because he was going to burn everything and yada, yada, yada. So I don't know. But yeah, so that's one of the visions. What were there any other ones, Marie?
I'm posting them all now in the chat, and I also posted the link from theindependent.co.uk if you want to follow along. The Independent's article just is titled Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 6, What Bran's Latest Visions Mean and Why They Matter. Mm-hmm. So, I'm posting some of the images that they pulled from all of his flashes.
So the last one you posted, the hand with the blood, I remember something about that, but I can't remember exactly what it was. Whose hand is that?
A very interesting shot. A bloodied hand and a woman's torso. The fact that this immediately cuts back to Ned Stark's asking, where's my sister, would appear to suggest that this is indeed from the Tower of Joy scene, making the woman Lyanna dying after giving birth.
Because I thought there was like this very same hand. There was another scene of someone dying. It was possibly Rob or his wife dying with this very same framing composition.
Do you want me to just read through the meanings?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's just
read through it. Okay, so I'm going to start back at number one, which is the Mad King Thrones. It says, significantly, we were given our first glimpse at the Mad King, Aerys Targaryen father to Daenerys, in a flashback which saw his death at the hands of Jaime Lannister during the sack of King's Landing 20 years ago. Mm. Jaime killed the Mad King in order to save the people of King's Landing after Aerys threatened to burn them all with wildfire. Though because only Jaime was witness to his madness, it was an event that tarred with his reputation for dishonor. Bran also saw the preparation of wildfire taking place, a liquid that will never stop burning once it's ignited, previously used by Tyrion to defeat Stannis at the Battle of Blackwater. And that was a picture of this. I didn't actually post that because I didn't know what that was, so I skipped it. Let me post it in the chat room right now, if it would let me. Copy image address, paste it. It's like this bubbling green goo looking stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Here, however, is where past appears to shift into future. We see the wildfire explode and rip through King's Landing. This can be this can't be a flashback to the Mad King, as Jaime killed him before his order was carried out, leading to the question of who will set the wildfire off. It could be Daenerys and her dragons, but most likely candidate here is Cersei, who could be looking to use wildfire to defeat the High Sparrow and his cohorts. And I posted the picture of that green fire earlier in the chat room. So it's a cavern where just wild green fire is billowing through this like underground tunnel looking thing.
Is that stuff man-made, or they just stockpiled it?
It looks to be man-made, perhaps. Or
it's the maesters made it. There was one that was that one maester that went crazy and no one liked him or whatever. I thought he was like stockpiling the shit out of it.
Could be. Then the bloodied hand, which we talked about. Bran also saw flashbacks of the deaths he witnessed himself, including the murder of Catelyn Stark at the Red Wedding. This is an indication that even more death is in the air, probably, as this is Game of Thrones after all. The vision did seem to be connecting both House Stark and House Targaryen, with glimpses of Daenerys and the image of a flying dragon, which may or may not be Drogon. What's most intriguing, however, is a shot of a dragon shadow over the burnt, wrecked rooftops of King's Landing. Mm-hmm. Is this a glimpse of Daenerys' arrival into the city? Tie that into the heavy involvement of the White Walkers in Bran's vision, with a flashback to the moment the Night King turned a human baby into one of his own, reaffirming exactly how formidable a foe this creature is.
Can the White Walkers turn any baby into a White Walker, like anyone?
I suppose. I mean,
as long as it's a baby.
I mean, all the babies that were kind of like handed over to the White Walkers at that one dude's camp, they were all boys. So, but I mean, one can say that he can probably turn like boys and girls into White Walkers.
Right.
So here's my question there. Like, the first White Walker was made by that dragon glass or obsidian glass or whatever it was, getting shoved into the heart. So now the White Walkers can just touch babies and make new ones. But if you kill someone and bring them back to life, they become a white. Or whatever.
Apparently, I mean,
I think the rules are a little hazy here.
I mean, I assume because they were babies, they were like, you know, pure and, you know, like fresh. Whatever you want to call it.
You don't have to stab them in the heart with.
John's right. Babies are fresh. I can't argue.
Well,
that.
No, like they're unsullied. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't have a penis like the Unsullied.
Oh my God.
Well, that's what the Unsullied are called. So that's on you. That's not on me.
No, I mean, like they're. They come into the world, they haven't really like adapted or like know anything, so it's like reformatting a flash drive. Dude, my examples are pretty clear.
Okay, they don't have the babies don't have penises, so they turn to White Walkers. I got you.
I think they're installing the original OS like for the first time. This isn't they're not reformatting, they're not doing
because
anything
people,
else. They're,
to be clear, there's White Walkers and then there's the whites. Like the whites are just the zombies. The White Walkers are like the leaders. Am I correct?
Yes.
Am I saying okay? So
I think
sure,
so, yeah.
We'll go with that one.
So that sounds good.
So when they're babies, they could turn them into White Walkers, which could like, you know, walk through fire and do whatever, all these magical shit. I don't remember. But it's just Marie said it yesterday, they keep adding more and more storylines. It's so hard to remember all of them.
Yeah, I didn't quite appreciate the fact that they're introducing more and more things or calling back stuff that you probably should have remembered from like season one and two that really, if you read the books, you would understand, but they barely even glazed over it. And now you're just supposed to know and understand all the significance behind it. It's like, wrap up the shit that we were talking about.
Right.
I was literally talking to Sherry about that today, about how We just need to go back once it's over and just watch everything again.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Just to see what we missed, and we can remember characters like, oh, that's this guy now. Okay, I get it.
Well, by the way, fun update. If you want to start watching everything again, Rift Tracks just announced they're going to be Rift Tracking the entire Game of Thrones.
All of it?
Yeah, I believe so, starting on episode one.
Oh, wow.
So awesome. I believe it's all of them. We have to check it out. But check them out. I mean, I'm excited for that.
So I'm gonna
that's
have
a lot
to watch
of material
it.
For them.
I'm going to have to watch it all the way through, and then I'm going to have to watch it again with the Riff Tracks.
I mean, I guess, but
I will.
I'm excited to watch it with the Riff Tracks. But, I might be wrong. I don't know if they're doing all the episodes. They made it seem like they were, but they weren't being very clear. What I do know is they're charging $2.99, which is actually, I think, well worth it. I'm not going to pay for it, but, you know.
Someone will.
So you have the... Bran having all the visions. That's where we left off, right?
Yeah. And if you want even more animations and breakdowns, Vanity Fair also has a pretty decent breakdown of all the visions.
Yeah, I know.
They actually organize them, which I kind of like. So they have the visions of the Dragon Queen. They have the visions of the Mad King. They have the visions of the Wildfire. They have the visions of the death of the Starks and the rules of the White Walkers. And and then the last one's just put a bird on it.
So
all of them are just gifts where they composited and put together all the ones that are quasi-related. And it kind of gives you an order of them, which makes a little bit more sense.
After Bran has the... all the visions that you're talking about there, the whites have basically surrounded them, and then we have this masked vigilante who's badass, by the way.
Introduce new character / old character,
right? And who was it? Who was it? Turn to be what's
uncle?
It
was an uncle,
Benjen.
Unky Benjen,
right? And he has like still some of the White Walker stuff on his face. You know, like,
is that what that was? I thought it was just like scarring.
No, they were trying to turn him, I think, into a White Walker, but the Children of the Forest stopped it. He even said, "Oh, by shoving another thing in my heart or whatever,
my ass."
So anyway, he's a badass, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, he just comes like out of nowhere.
Came in like
when's
a wrecking ball.
When's the last time we saw Uncle Benjen?
Season two.
Do you remember anything about Uncle Benjen or his significance or why he was up there?
I don't remember anything about him.
Man, I
gotta
tell you,
sucks, man.
This is so hard with Game of Thrones because I love the show, probably more than I've loved any show, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's so much to fucking maintaining your brain, you know?
Okay, let me see. Vox explains Benjen Stark.
Yeah, why don't you read that? Let's see what Benjen Stark says.
Benjen Stark is Ned Stark's little brother and was a high-ranking member of the Night's Watch until he vanished.
Has Weird Al done it's all about the Benjen Stark baby? Because that would be really good.
That would be good.
Send him an email.
Uh-huh.
All right, posting a picture of what Benjen looked like before we lost him. So
a handsome man.
He's very glossy looking, not as...
glossy.
Yeah, not as pox-ridden in his face.
He looks like the front man for The Who.
Yeah, Benjen Stark is Ned Stark's younger brother and the last surviving member of that previous generation of the Stark family. We've seen a much younger version of him in some of Bran's visions of Winterfell's past this year. Mm-hmm. The books establish that it's relatively common for a younger son of a noble family who wouldn't inherit the family's castle go off to join the Night's Watch. And after Ned inherited Winterfell, that's what Benjen did, soon rising swiftly through the Watch's ranks and becoming First Ranger. So he's a First Ranger of the Night's Watch. We were introduced to Benjen in the very first episode of Game of Thrones,
right,
when he showed up to the Starks family feast welcoming King Robert to Winterfell. At that point, the character seemed mainly to be a plot device to get Jon Snow to leave his family and join the Night's Watch.
And then, boom, out of nowhere.
Yes.
Con Air.
He
looks like Nicolas Cage, but he's doing things people like.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. I can see the resemblance. So we have, moving back to this episode, we see Sam and Gilly riding in a carriage, taking her to, like,
Sam's house.
Yeah, Sam's house. Now, they get to Sam's house.
Which
Holy
is
shit. It's
baller.
Fucking baller. Sam's house is crazy. And his dad is a typical disappointed dad. Shows up with Gilly. And what I don't understand is, I mean, I know Gilly's been run for a while, but like, she couldn't put a comb to her, through her hair or something?
Listen, it's hard traveling back then. What's a girl to do?
So, yeah, so, you know, Gilly borrows one of the dresses. They have dinner. I don't know if that's yet, though.
We can just go through plots that we remember, since it's, we don't have to go in order. Right, no, it jumps back and forth.
I know. You also have yeah, that really awkward, that was just an awkward dinner scene with Sam, you know? And the dad basically,
well, Sam's dad makes it super awkward. The mom is actually quite pleasant.
The dad has like is holding like a grudge against him. Sam.
Yeah, the mom and the sisters are all like, "Welcome home, son. It's nice to see you. You're looking good." And they even complimented Gilly when she was looking like a tattered ass whore.
But then prior to them going up to the gates, Sam was telling Gilly like, "Hey, yo, don't tell him you're a White Walker."
Yeah, you have one job. Don't tell anyone I met you north of the wall and that you're a white.
And then this happens.
Wildling.
He drove a dagger into the walker's heart. He risked his own life to save mine more than once. He's a greater warrior than either of you will ever be.
First off, snap. Right there.
Yeah.
Secondly, Sam didn't do a great job of explaining himself to begin with. Like, he was like, "Oh, I didn't hurt." Like, the first thing
he
I would
being
say
a
is
little
like,
bitch to
I,
his
I would
dad.
Say, like, "I killed a White Walker. Go fuck your face, Dad."
Mic drop. If they had microphones back then.
And the only thing that the dad took from that whole thing was like, "You mean you were coming from what?" But figured out that she was a wildling.
Yep. He put two and two together pretty quickly.
Offered for her to stay.
Yeah, it's like, "You're not allowed to stay here, Sam, but I'll keep your bastard and your
also,
bastard
also, by the way, can I say,
wife.
Fucking thank you for shoving the plot down my throat, Game of Thrones. Like, they're usually a little more subtle, but it's like, also that Valyrian steel sword there from our family. I hope that doesn't come in handy later. Like, it was, be honest, was that not a little ham-handed? Like,
yep, it's always going to stay right there
this whole
on the counter.
Line. The Gilly storyline has been kind of ham-handed.
Boy, I sure hope nobody steals this sword.
It's a good thing my long-lost son has returned, even though he's trying to fight White Walkers, and there's only one or two things that kill a White Walker, and it's on my mantle.
Oh, well.
And I needn't be worried to put a step stool right next to said mantle.
Oh, well, I'm going to go to bed and leave it unguarded.
My son is way too fat to reach up for that.
I mean, what's he going to do with that sword? Eat it?
It's not a book.
Yeah. Gilly gives him that whole talk. And by the way, no matter how much I try to pretty up Gilly, she's still ugly. So I just put that out there.
I love that he's like, "You can't come with me, Gilly. You can't come with me, Gilly. All right, you're coming with me, Gilly." That was fast.
So then the Arya storyline in that and Blood of My Blood episode was she was supposed to finally poison the lady, the actress, in the play. So she goes and yada, yada, yada. She ends up not doing it. Or at least, by the way, something else with Arya. I understand you changed your mind, but you basically got the young actress murdered. You know?
Yeah.
Like, watch out for her. She wants to kill you. Even though it wasn't her that was trying. You know what I mean? Like, watch out for the young actress. She's trying to kill. Now this whole bitch, now she's always going to think. Because of fucking Arya just changing her mind probably got the other one killed.
I'm still trying to figure out what's Arya's game.
I know.
Like, can we just like plow through Arya's storyline right? Just, you know, from season 6 and season 7, because I want to just
in
talk
season 6 now, aren't we?
Episode 6 and 7, not season. Yeah. My mistake. So
be my guest.
Arya has been working quite diligently at trying to learn this whole God of Many Faces.
Yeah, middle-aged Chris Cornell is trying to teach her.
Story approach to fighting, and they take away her eyesight so she becomes a better fighter, and they give her all these tests, and she fails every single one of them. She's apparently on board, but she's not on board. A girl has a name, but she still saves Needle. Like, this whole thing, it's been dragging on for God knows how long.
Was that a dragon joke?
It is now.
I saw what you did there.
And then he finally says, "This is your last test. A girl does not have another... chance. You either do it or we're gonna kill you." And then she chickens out at the last second and was like, "Ah, I didn't really like this thing anyways. And then it's just like, doop, doop, doop,
yeah,
doop.
It's not even that she chickens out. It's not even that she chickens out. That she just, she's totally chill about it. She's like, whatevs. I'm just going to hang out here. Whatevs.
Just going to like stroll around the
I don't
space.
Know.
Oh, hey there, old lady. I like stranger danger is not a thing. I shouldn't be worried about the guy that could have any face he wants.
I don't see what the payoff was. So she went and she trained. And for what?
I think I do. What's too.
I think there. I have two. I don't have two different theories. I've read two different theories of what could possibly be happening. The first theory is that the happy Aria that you saw prancing around the street, just tossing out silver like it's nobody's business, was actually Jaqen H'ghar in Aria's. It, this is one of the theories. He actually is being Aria,
uh-huh.
knowing that What's-Her-Face is going to come after her and kill her.
But he told her to kill her.
Yes, he did.
So,
but this is... that's one
this
of,
theory sucks.
One of the theories...
This
it, well,
theory
because,
sucks.
I want to hear it out.
Okay, so if you notice Aria, when's the last time you saw Aria happy?
When she was with her entire family.
Yeah, no. And this episode she was happy when she was looking at the statue with the dick under it and then, you know, whatever else. She's never happy. There was another thing that said that she used the wrong hand to do something with.
Right.
So it could be Jaqen H'ghar being taking her place for something, and this is like her final ascension.
Well, how would Jaqen H'ghar know where she hid Needle?
I don't know. Well, no, that probably was her taking Needle.
The man has
also where was Needle when she got stabbed?
Yeah.
Yeah, because didn't we see Arya like hiding in a cave?
Yeah, and then she was out there throwing silver around. Like, I don't understand.
So maybe Arya is still hiding in the cave and Jaqen is prancy
but
happy
what's
Arya.
What's the point?
I don't know.
I don't know.
She could be also, or Jaqen, whatever, Jaqen him off, could be testing the cunt that doesn't like Arya too much. Could be testing her as well.
Well, okay, but what's the end game? Is there another theory, Mitch? You said you had a couple?
Yes, the other theory is that it's kind of like a Fight Club thing where Arya and the Waif are the same person because Jaqen never talks to both of them at the same time. He's only and the theory is that the Waif and Arya, like Arya is her personification of what she used to be, and the Waif is the follower of the many-faced god, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And basically, when Jaqen says, do it to go kill Arya, he's telling Arya to finally get rid of her self that has been holding her back from truly embracing this many-faced god religion thing.
Damn, son.
Damn.
All right. Well, I mean, that's a good theory. I don't hate it. But yeah, she grabs Needle. I mean, you might be right. The other notable thing that happens in Blood of My Blood before we move on to the next episode is the crown and the church basically joined forces.
Oh, back in King's Landing?
Yeah, that shit was crazy,
dude. You have Jaime fucking rolling up with all these troops, and it turns out that the king and whatever, you know, now there's a Holy Alliance is what it is. So what do you think the end game of Bum Pope is?
He just wants power. He's ruling over it through the poor.
I think it's pretty clear what the holy guy is trying to do. What I think is very unclear is what Marjorie is trying to do.
Right.
Are we jumping through seasons or episodes? Or?
No, this is still season six. Episode six.
Harmony, a holy alliance between the crown and the faith.
Jamie's not happy about that.
No one's happy about it.
This is what causes Jamie to get banned. You know, to get banished
or sent away.
Sent away, yeah. Then the other notable thing that happens in this episode is, and Mike pointed it out, the CGI on the dragons is getting worse, right, guys? We all agree?
It was bad. Yeah, it wasn't as good as it has been before.
Because it was rough. But then she gives... Danny gives his whole fucking speech, you know.
She is a much better warrior than she is a leader, and I'm happier with her trying to conquer people, and hopefully she leaves it to Tyrion to rule the people that she conquers.
Right.
Because she's terrible at sitting put.
Yeah, no, I agree. I guess that's the end of pretty much that episode, at least all the stuff that happened in it that was notable. And of course we already said Sam takes the sword and he fucking hightails it with Gilly.
Do you think Sam's father's going to come after him?
I think so. But here's the other thing that I think. Well, maybe not. I don't know. He might not. If he does,
it's going to be a throwaway, quick scene. Nothing's going to come of it.
Yeah. So the next episode was interesting because tell me maybe if I'm wrong. Maybe you guys know better than me. But it was the first episode where they had a pre-credit scene.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I noticed that immediately.
And I was watching it, and I told Maria, "Go, are they not going to play the intro?" So they basically go into someone building a church, and you pan out and you notice that it's the Hound.
That was a holy shit, I'm so happy moment.
Yeah, the Hound is alive and he's been hanging out with this religious, I don't know what he would describe it, kind of Amish nomad people, like just hanging out with them.
He was a warrior turned priest, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he kind of like gave up the life.
And also, I was super happy of who it was because I loved him in Deadwood.
Oh, yeah. He was really good.
Wasn't he also in Vikings?
No, I think he was in Hell on Wheels, though.
Or Hell on Wheels. I don't know. One of those things.
It was Hell on Wheels.
But when they showed the Hound, I'm traveling back to when he was a thing and he had that huge fart, that huge fight on the cliff. I had a lot of my former friends that I used to watch it with. Like giggling and squealing at because they're like, oh, in the book he lives. It's like, no, well, he fell, but you know, thanks for spoiling that. And lo and behold, he survived.
Yeah, I remember talking about it, and we all agreed they did not show his death, which means he could come back.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. Like literally, unless they cut your head off, you might come back.
Yep.
Like, we can all agree that Ned Stark is probably not coming back.
Yeah, he's not.
But
it's been so long since Sean Bean has been in this show. Sean. I don't...
Sean Bean?
He's got to change his name. No, I'm going to keep calling him Sean Bean.
Pronounced Sean. So
yeah, they introduce a whole bunch of brand new characters with the Hound, which leads to a good story later on in the episode.
So we have Marjorie's mother,
grandma,
trying to sneak something to her because and I don't know what it was, just a picture of a rose, right?
Well, actually, it was Marjorie giving it to her grandmother.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Marjorie gave it to her grandmother. To Alina. I believe it was a message from Marjorie saying, "Hey, I don't actually believe what I'm doing.
Right?
Yeah.
I just want you to know this, and I want you to leave. Otherwise, bad things will happen to you."
Did that rose mean something? Is it?
It has to.
Not that I know of, probably, but.
But the fact that she gave something to her grandmama and kind of like, she didn't really wink, but kind of like let her know, like, because from the previous episode and the current episode, up until that part, you were convinced that Marjorie was brainwashed and she's all about like this religious life.
No. I was not convinced.
I was never convinced. I knew she had something up her sleeve. She's too fucking conniving.
Oh, I did too, but I'm just saying, like, anybody else watching it, like, that's, like, I mean, basically she was fooling the high priest and that cunt that always follows her around.
Right. Yeah, because the high priest goes up to her and Marjorie's like, oh, you have to fuck your husband. And she's like, I don't want to fuck my husband anymore. She's like, but you could totally gotta have to fuck your husband. You know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
It's your wifely duty to fuck your husband and create some babies.
Yeah. Then you have Cersei's talks to Grandma for a bit here. I have a little clip.
That was the best slap in the face.
I'm leaving this wretched city as fast as I can before that shoeless zealot throws me into one of his cells. If you're half as bright as you think you are, you'll find a way out of here, too.
Never. I'll never leave my son.
What'll you do, then? You have no support? Not anymore. Your brother's gone. The High Sparrow, sort of that. The rest of your family have abandoned you. The people despise you. You're surrounded by enemies, thousands of them. You're going to kill them all by yourself? You've lost Cersei. It's the only joy I could find in all this misery.
It was such a fucking shot at her.
It was like a Friars Club roast.
Yeah.
There was another shot that she takes a little bit later where she's like, I can't remember if I have anyone that I've met that I hated more than you because I've met so many. But right now, you're the one I hate the most.
Yeah. That was a... The grandmother has some great disses. You got to give it to her.
I'm surprised she's lasted this long in terms of somebody killing her. So then you have Jamie trying to raid Blackfish's castle.
Again, a storyline I have no idea, recollection of it happening.
Yeah, I don't remember Blackfish. I don't remember. I mean, maybe someone explained it to me. Listen, and by the way, we're not casual fans. We fucking watch the show. We watch episodes over and over again. It's just I don't remember. You know?
Because there's so much like plot and subplot that you had that like they just throw at you. Mm.
It all kind of comes back to the Red Wedding. I know they're arguing over a piece of land that one person was trying to lay claim to from the Red Wedding with the marriage and all that stuff. But I don't remember any of the people outside of Rob and Caitlin getting murdered about who was marrying who and who was supposed to get what castle. So apparently this guy Blackfish thinks that the castle is his home and he's been there forever. But Walder Frey thinks that the castle is his because of the Red Wedding somehow.
And then you have them saying they're going to kill his nephew. They have a knife through his throat. And he goes, fucking get it over with, slit his throat. And they don't do it, obviously. Jamie goes in there like a baller and says, I'm in charge now. Go fuck your faces. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, but they don't really listen to him too much, do they?
That's true.
They kind of was like, go ahead. We have 2 years worth of provisions. Try to get through these walls.
No, I was talking about the other people that were...
The other people are not really like an army.
Oh, where he's like, get out of the way, you assholes. Got it.
Yeah, the Frey's army is, they're like the police, and Jamie's the FBI, and he's taking jurisdiction of it. And
they're like, no, this is our... Not anymore, it's not.
You call those trenches?
You got to dig them a little bit longer and put some people in them.
What do you think you guys have been doing all this time?
All right.
You need to go attack him? That'll cost you extra.
So then the next thing that's happened in this episode is Jon Snow and Sansa go and petition this little girl. What house was it?
Bear?
I don't know. My Little Pony House?
Bear something?
Well, the funny part about that is they sit there and they talk to this girl that they need the men and they're loyal to Stark and all that. And then it turns out they only have 62 men.
Yeah, it was a stubborn little.
It seems
it's House Mormont.
Yeah.
This is actually the same house that Jorah the Explorer is from.
Oh, there
is
you go.
It?
Yeah. Because I remember this. Her grandpa was the Lord Commander Mormont at the Night's Watch.
Mm hmm.
And he's the one that brought Jon Snow under his wings, and then he eventually got killed.
Right.
That's who that is.
Wow.
The house.
Good job remembering that.
I read it, and then I kind of remembered it later.
So, yeah, you have Jamie talking to Blackfish here.
I don't see Sansa and Arya.
I don't have them.
Pity. Do you wish to resume your captivity? And why are you here?
You know why I'm here. This castle belongs to House Frey. You're trespassing. In the name of King Tommen, I order you to surrender. Or
you'll kill Edmure. My nephew's marked for death no matter what. Hang him and be done with it.
You won't stop with Edmure. You'll force me to storm the castle. Hundreds will die.
Hundreds of mine. Thousands of yours. If you...
Fucking in your face.
You don't give a shit.
Yeah. So, again, so much is going on.
Why is it that Sansa and Jon Snow cannot negotiate for the life of them?
Yep.
How is it that they are so bad at people that have already promised themselves to the House Stark that they can't get anyone to agree to give them any people?
Well, because of all the shit that happened and like a lot of like the Starks have died. And really didn't live up to their claims. So now they're like using like the whole start, like, oh, the Starks, you guys are honorable to the Starks. And it's like, yeah, but we're not going to be battling alongside fucking wild legs.
So yeah, like the Starks
like
track
the black
record.
People.
Yeah, the Starks track record hasn't been too good as of late.
No.
So
then you have Theon hanging out with his sister at a whorehouse.
Who apparently is a lesbian.
And by the way, yeah, or at least bi, making out with some whores. But what a cruel joke to play on Theon who doesn't have a dick. And she basically tells him, look, either fucking man up or kill yourself, you know?
Well, Ironborn are kind of tough like that.
Yeah.
I think she was right to be like, stop pouting.
And drink the goddamn ale.
He was a good boy and he did drink the ale. Well,
this, I mean, she was yelling at him loud enough.
This is one of my favorite. Let me turn this up. Hold on. So yeah, this is when, you know, after he talks to her and then...
Now, since it's my last night ashore for a long while, I'm gonna go fuck the tits off this one.
No, what about the one afterwards? She's like, she got nice asses like that over in the Iron Islands.
Yep.
Thank you to Game of Thrones for giving us some boobies in this episode.
So then the next scene you have Deadwood Preacher of the Amish where Hound is at, and he's hanging out, and these basically three bandits walk up and sell, you know.
Oh, he's hanging out.
Trying to rob them. And Hound basically says, look, we should fucking go after these guys, you know?
They're trying to rob you.
Those people, I think it's the Brotherhood Without Banners.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same gang where, remember when the Hound had Arya and he was eating the turkey leg in that brothel or whatever it was?
Oh, no, the chickens.
The chicken. He was eating a whole chicken. I believe that was the same group of people. I think.
You may be right.
So now the next scene is we have Arya walking up to the smuggler.
You're Westerosi.
What do you care?
I want to book.
Wait, did
home.
We skip? Sorry, did you? We were talking about the band, and we didn't mention that they killed everyone.
Oh no, they haven't done it yet. They were just threatening him, thinly
spoilers.
Veiled.
Spoilers.
Not till a little bit later in the episode.
Sorry. I guess they flashed back to like four times.
Where'd you steal this from?
What do you care?
Leave in 2 days. You can have a hammock in steerage.
I want a cabin. And we'll leave at dawn. See you at sunrise.
So she was ready to leave. Then she goes for a little walk and she gets stabbed in the fucking stomach.
Where'd you steal this from?
What do you care?
Sorry.
Well, where not only that, it was an old lady that like approached her, and it was like up, a man with no face.
Yeah, she gets 2 stab wounds, and the second stab, she turns the knife a little bit.
Yeah.
So Arya is pretty bad off right now, and then after she gets stabbed, she throws herself over the bridge into the water to escape the waif and starts swimming to shore as blood is trailing behind her, and then she just starts. Wandering through the streets, bleeding. Good headbutt, though.
Yeah, does Waif think that she really did kill her, or she just kind of just sent her a message?
No, Waif was trying to kill her. I mean,
Waif was trying to kill her.
No, I'm just saying, like, when she fell in the water and saw and didn't see her come up.
She's probably going to keep looking for her, I would imagine.
I don't know, it's kind of like she waited for like 3 seconds, like, good enough, and then left. You know, she didn't like kind of wait. You know, maybe the body's still down there, right. So yeah, she kind of wait a little bit to see where she shows up.
As we've already determined from the Hound and everyone else, if you don't see them dead, they're not dead.
So then the episode ends off with the Hound basically chopping wood. He's doing a lot of wood chopping in this episode. And he walks, and they basically killed everybody. From his little spiritual former bandit group.
Convenient to introduce a whole group of new characters only to kill them off.
Yeah, but you know what?
The makes Hound, it easier so we don't have to remember them later.
The Hound is going to kill the shit out of those people, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Revenge!
But yeah, all in all...
Do you think he still has his armor or he doesn't really... He just has, like, those rags.
I don't think he needs it. I think he's going to kill
his mother. He's got an axe, so I mean, I guess he doesn't need a sword either.
I think he's going to kill those motherfuckers with an axe.
Nice.
That'd be pretty sweet.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty good also.
Yeah, he's all like, but they were nice people. I think the Hound has a soft spot for real.
He does, and I think he was trying to change his way, like, legitimately trying to change his ways from being this warrior that would just, you know, very loyal and kill whoever he was told to kill to being his own person and not necessarily wanting to kill people, but he wasn't fully there like the preacher was, where the preacher was like, I used to be a warrior, I murdered people, blah, 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 but I don't do that anymore, that's not the thing that we do. And obviously it didn't work out for the preacher, so he got killed. But the Hound was in that transition where it hasn't happened yet. So now he's about to fuck people up.
Hey, bitches need to be got.
All right. I think that wraps it up, guys, for this week anyway.
How about the end credits? Oh, my God.
Yeah, next week's episode, yeah.
I don't watch those.
Oh, are you kidding me? Like, they showed a standoff with... Cersei's brute squad versus like the High Sparrows, and Mountain looks like he's gonna rip somebody's upper jaw off his skull and just use it as like a weapon.
It's pretty badass. Oh, predictions. Yes, Marie.
Okay.
Mitch first.
Or Mitch.
I was gonna say one of the predictions that I saw, I don't know, but it's gonna be the Clegane face off, where the Mountain and the Hound are gonna face off at some point and beat the shit out of each other.
Oh yeah,
you think that's gonna lead up to the end of this this coming episode?
Very possible. Because I know that they don't particularly care for each other that much.
No, considering that he burned his face. What about you, Marie?
I'm trying to think who is going to be the major characters that die. I believe Jon Snow and Sansa and Arya will probably... I think the Starks will stay alive. I also think Daenerys will stay alive. The people I think that are going to die are going to be Jaime and Cersei. I think that they're going to die.
Do you think Marjorie's mom's going to die as an example?
Cersei's not going to die until her last kid dies.
Well, that's what I mean. She has a prophecy over her head. Yeah. So
maybe Tommen will die then.
I think Tommen will die, and I think Cersei and Jaime, like, I think everyone that Cersei loves is going to die, and then Cersei's going to die herself. Like, I think that's going to pan out.
Yeah. Now,
I predict that Marjorie's going to kill that nun that won't stop following her.
Yeah, that nun's going to get her comeuppance. I don't know by who, but it's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, my prediction is that Danny's going to go crazy and someone's going to have to kill that bitch, too.
Do you think Daenerys is going to allow the team up with the Iron Peoples with their ships?
She needs ships, so it would make sense. I think Tyrion will convince her because she wanted ships and all of hers and Meereen burned down.
That being said, do you think... their way to Meereen, do you think there's going to be a naval battle between the asshole brother that's trying to get after him?
I don't know, because, man, fucking 1,000, you know how long it's going to take them to build boats?
Yeah, and...
like, that's not easy.
And in Bran's flash, there was a dragon with a shadow over King's Landing, so perhaps Daenerys does make it with her dragons to King's Landing at some point.
Dragons are going to make it to King's Landing. Whether Daenerys is going to be there, I don't know.
Well, she's the only one that controls them.
Yes.
So we saw it in this episode, but Sansa was writing a letter, and then she used her wax stamp, whatever. I believe that was sending it to Littlefinger.
Of course, asking for help.
Because he has an army ready. And she didn't want his help because of what he did to her, sending her to the crazy Boltons. But she needs his help, and I think they're going to get his army.
Hope in Facebook chat says, yes, it's perfect timing. She'll want the ships. Yeah, I know. It's funny. It's like, how many ships do we need? 1,000. Oh, good. We have exactly 1,000 over here. This is perfect.
Where do you think where do you think Arya was walking to when she was wandering?
I mean,
I
don't think she was walking in a particular direction. I think she was in shock because she just got stabbed in the stomach 3 times and fell in freezing water. I don't know if she specifically had any place in mind. Obviously, Arya's not going to die, but now how she's going to survive this or who's going to heal her, I don't know.
Do you think her big test is to kill Waif?
I don't know, because maybe what Mitch says is right. The theory that Mitch says that she's the same person.
Right. And it could be, am with Mitch on that one.
Well, see, I didn't even come up with that one, but it could be another thing where, like, the having her kill the actress could have been another test where, like, the actress was just a good person. She was just a person. She wasn't, you know, involved in anything bad. So maybe it was a test to see if Arya would kill anyone willy-nilly or if she would, you know, pick and choose, like, why does this person actually deserve to die? That type of thing.
I agree with you so much, man.
Maybe it is, because if not, I mean, that's the only way that this storyline hasn't been a waste, you know?
Yeah, that's my only hope, is please don't let Arya's storyline be a fucking waste of time for her to just die or... Yeah. I can't. She can't just die.
She's been building up to, you know, to seek revenge on the death of, like, her, you know, her side of the family.
Yeah, I mean, what I think, I mean, Daenerys... I still think Daenerys will not make it to King's Landing by the end of this season. No way, no how. I mean, she's been over at Slaver's Bay for how long now? Just fucking hanging out and crying all the time. But it'll happen eventually. I mean, I think that the invading the or when Cersei goes and tries to invade the church, that's when she's gonna accidentally get her son killed.
Do you think this coming episode or the following episode is going to be the battle against the Michael Boltons?
We haven't seen the Boltons in a while.
Yeah, the Boltons. Yeah. The last,
at least two episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's two big battles then, because you have the King's Landing and then you have the Boltons. So I want to say King's Landing is going to happen this season where they fight the priests, the High Sparrow. And I think next season they're going to start off with the Bolton fight.
Do you think the death or the fall of the Sparrows will lead to a riot in the cities? Because in episode 6, you saw the people were like, yeah, William, priesthood. Ah! So you think, like, you know, if they kill them, it's like, oh, man.
I don't know why Westeros Bernie Sanders is so mean. Like, I get it. You're the common man and you live with everybody else. But, like, it's just he's kind of a dick. Like, it's that he has become, the High Sparrow may have become my most hated character on the show. And this is a show that had Joffrey in it, you know?
More than eyelids Bolton?
Yes, more than him. Because Bolton is a fucking certifiable maniac. I think he's mentally fucking has problems. He's an asshole. He's a shithead. But what bothers me is the High Sparrow is a genius. He's just an evil person, you know? Like, the way he's using people and... opinion.
You know what Ramsay is. You know he's a piece of shit. Yeah. You know he's a crazy psychopath. But, yeah, like you're saying, the High Sparrow is using... He's hiding behind religion and, you know, manipulating people that way.
Yeah, I think he's trying to make everyone poor. I think he's the true socialist.
Yeah, no,
another thing, too. Remember, like, those, what are the sand snakes, the sun people, the one that killed the guy that was always in a wheelchair and he stood up? Like, whatever happened to
we haven't seen them. Like, we haven't seen them, just like we haven't seen
Mitch,
the Boltons.
Mitch,
I haven't cared because who gives a shit about Dorne?
Mitch, I have some work for you. It's a simple one. Can you Photoshop Bernie Sanders' face onto the High Sparrow?
Of course,
feel the I don't know whatever, but make sure, because they're the same guy. It bothers me that it took me this long to figure it out, but they're the same guy. Right?
And didn't then we already put a speech bubble that says "Hail Hydra"?
I think there's already been comparisons because, you can just do Bernie Sanders, High Sparrow, and there's already stuff there on Google. We are not the first
one.
Well,
I'm still really smart. I don't care.
You're really smart. I said it.
It's time. It's time to wrap up, guys.
Aw.
Aw.
Boo.
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 All right. All right, guys. Next week, same time. Oh, next week, no show. That's right. We're not going to be here. Will we be here? Yeah, we'll be here.
No.
They will be.
No, it'll be too late, though. All right. So, yeah. So, probably double up again. That's probably... Unless you guys want to do it without us, I really don't care. All right. Well, here, guys. Thanks for listening. Game of Thrones, Wieners and Such on More Like Radio.
Monsters are dangerous, and just now, kings are dying like flies.